listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to episode 63 of the Patty Pigskin podcast. I am Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings. It is absolutely pissing rain right now in Boston, Massachusetts. So hopefully me and Jer can bring some sunshine into our lives on this gloomy Thursday night before the all AFC West clash between the Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, taking on the formerly known as San Diego Chargers, who are now in LA. Big clash there in the AFC West, and it's halfway through the season, so I thought, fuck it, we'll give out a few awards. And now that all teams have played at least 8 games, we'll give out some good awards, we'll give out some bad awards, we'll give out a few joke awards even, and we'll do this all while sipping a new beer. I actually found it rubbishing through my fridge, so there is a little bit of story associated. On episode 63, Patty Pigskin. For episode 63, our player dedication is Gene Upshaw, aka Uptown Gene and Highway 63. Of the Raiders, which is fitting because we're recording just before Thursday night football. He was born in Robstown, Texas in 1945, played his high school ball at the local high school there, and he stayed in state for his college career. He played guard at Texas A&M Kingsville, and he was a frat boy. He was part of House Alpha Phi Alpha. He was drafted 17th overall in the 1967 AFL draft by the Raiders, and he would play all 15 years in the black and silver, along with some ferocious, absolute intimidating animals there for the Raiders. After bouncing around there all line, he settled on guard, which is his natural position, and he went to 3 Super Bowls with the Raiders. He won 2 rings, Super Bowl 11 when they beat the Vikings 32-14, which was a battle of the number one seeds, and then Super Bowl 15 when they beat Jersey Eagles 27-10. He went to 6 consecutive Pro Bowls from 72 to 77, and he earned 3 first-team All-Pro nods in this period. And he also got 2 first-team All-AFL nods before the merger. And in his Hall of Fame career, he played 217 games for the Raiders, and he was eventually enshrined in the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio in 1987. So perhaps it's a good omen that tonight we are dedicating episode 63 to Gene Upshaw of the Raiders. So let's get on, Jer, and get cracking with this week's episode. How's it going, Jer?
Hey, how are you doing?
That was so awkward.
You got me so off guard there.
Because like, we've been sitting here for about an hour talking shit without the microphone actually being on. Once that fucking red light goes on, everything changes. You can see why people get like starstruck on TV and all when they see a little red dot. When we're recording, they're like, oh my God. So, like I said in the intro, pissing rain now. It's a rough night here in Boston. And I did give a clue earlier on that we were going to try and brighten up our evening. So, in that regard, we are going to drink Sip of Sunshine, a very highly regarded beer here in the Massachusetts area. Another IPA from Lawson's Finest Liquids.
Okay.
Kind of fairly straightforward label. You know, you see some of the crazy labels that they have in IPA land here in the US, and some of them are fucking mad. This one's a strong one now, 8%. So this will wake you up if you're feeling
a
little bit drowsy.
Is that a before date on that, or is that a drink?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Fuck it. We'll roll the dice. So these are in fact out of date by 5 weeks.
Will that play into our ratings though?
It could do, yeah. We've already got a negative bias against this beer because they're out of date. And the missus actually got them, so it's her fault.
Jesus, Lord.
So if our arse is falling out of us by the end of the night, we know who to blame. So we will sip this sunshine. That was a bit of a tongue twister. While we chat about our award. So it's midpoint of the NFL season. Every team has played at least 8 games as Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. So there's 2 teams getting ready to play another one. And we'll start off with the biggest bust award. Now, you actually, when I was kind of running by these earlier on, you asked, what is the biggest bust? what's the definition of it? It can kind of be a bit of an open definition. So it could be a player that was drafted that's just not performed.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a player that was traded and, again, hasn't performed. Or it could be someone that's been on the same team and just has not really done anything this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of open to... it's open to definition, really. So biggest bust award, we'll do one for a team and we'll do one for a player.
Okay.
So I'll let you do the honours here. Go for it.
So on the fly, I am just going to go with Sam Darnold.
Okay.
Like, taken as your franchise quarterback and then gets the kissing disease and loses, like, misses Cooties. 4 or 5 games, you know. And then comes back, beats the
Them
Cowboys.
Boys. Yeah.
And then just decides to go and, like, throw 8 picks over the next 2 games.
Mm, it was just such a weird win.
It just, I don't know, like, that. I turned it. I was late to that game when they were winning. I was like, oh, my God. And then the second half, it seemed like, wow, they got away with that.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
I think you see that sometimes with bad teams when they make a personnel change. There's that little spark at the start, you know. Like, so, you know, the big one being the quarterback. They get a new quarterback in. All of a sudden, they kind of... rejuvenates the team, and then with bad teams they're kind of going back to being shy again, which in this case is the Jets. That spark didn't really do anything
just
for them.
And he's just, and like, I know we're only picking one, but my God, you wouldn't run short of having 7 handfuls of people that have just been so bad this year.
Yeah.
And especially with, you think about the quarterback class from last year, a lot of them have regressed, you know.
Yeah. Sophomore
take
slump
for the
is
exception
real
of two, maybe. One has kind of consistently stayed where it was, and one of them has just taken it to another level. But the sophomore slump for a few of them has just been terrible.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon that does seem to exist, Ari. My
biggest...
the dog has just come in, and he's like a little drowned rat.
Gorgeous.
You want to be on the podcast, does he? Okay. people do with the man more at Barney, so maybe if he bumps up the listenership, we'll have to get him on a little bit more. Just got to teach him how to speak English and be fucking...
What about that woman that taught her dog how to speak? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. What
it's
was...
like this 26-button listening board.
Really?
The dog literally talks by tapping the button.
Jesus. Stop the planet.
She's like
I want to get off.
A speech pathologist.
My biggest player bust, Odell Beckham Jr. So far, they've 8 games, so they've done their bye week. 39 catches, 575 yards, only 1 touchdown.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't think he had 39 catches.
Yeah. He's had a few, all right, but just the 1 touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
We know, you know, we've seen so many times the slants that he has taken to the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's always kind of padded Eli's stats a little bit. You know, he throws like a 5-yard slant and Odell takes it. Just the fact that he has that home run hitter ability, and you look at the offense he's in, like he's got overall number 1 pick thrown on the ball. He's got his mate Landry in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
So you know there's another guy you have to respect. If they're on the same side, it's like, oh, pick your poison. Do we take the short stuff or do we leave Odell 1-on-1 on the outside? And then like he's probably got a top 10 running back in Nick Chubb, and they're just not getting him the ball. And I know you mentioned that's partly on Kitchens as well. Fair enough.
You know, it's,
but like
it's,
from a player standpoint, he's a disappointment for me.
He's been and I can't agree. Can't argue that he's not being a disappointment. I just feel for him that you bring a guy in and give the picks for him and absorb his contract, and you don't throw him the ball. Like, he's top 5 receiver. Like, you just got to throw it up for him and trust that he can come down with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's not too many cornerbacks out there that are going to compete with him.
Mm.
And they're just not getting him the ball. And a lot of it, I think, comes down to Baker.
Yeah.
Because the offensive line breaking down.
Mm.
So he's just getting rid of the ball quickly. He's not throwing it to him. Or he's just... pre-snap because this line isn't going to hold.
Yeah.
So he moves out of the pocket and runs into trouble when the line held fine on a play.
Mm.
So I put a lot of it in Kitchens because, again, Baker's not another one of those players that's regressed. And you got to look at it and go, maybe this was too soon for Kitchens to become a head coach.
Yeah.
And all the talent that's there, and like, he's not able to control the players. And
that's the problem. Like, you've got all this talent, but sometimes with the talent comes with, you know, comes the egos. And I've kind of said, like, in Cleveland, everything would be grand if they're winning. But then when the losing creeps in, all of a sudden you're going to have like Baker Mayfield walking out of a press conference.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have whispers of lads being traded, like Odell, you know, there's been people saying, oh, well, they might just trade him. You're going to have that, you know, as Jarvis Landry said, it's contagious, bro. Like when that starts creeping into the locker room, it's a fucking powder keg then. And that blows up, like, who knows what's going
to
happen.
Eagles, like, apparently there's like guys... speaking to reporters, you know, like not
anonymously,
you know, and it's just talking about your quarterback that he just isn't whatever.
Can't be having it.
Can't be. As you said, then you get players that are get traded from the team that come back and say, yeah, terrible there. You know, everybody's talking about each other.
Who was the Eagles released someone there? Was it Orlando Scott? And he said, like, it was a bit of a negative environment in the locker room.
Straight up. Like, there was no leaders there.
And then Jenkins ripped them a new arsehole.
And then the Eagles released a video of the day before of him talking and calling Jenkins the leader, you know, we follow you, you know. It's
like, always keep the receipts.
Yeah.
biggest bust or disappointment. Team wise, who are you going with on this one?
Well, so let's shy away from the Browns, because they could be one that you could because they were everyone's hype train leading into it. I will go with No, I'm not going to go with those either. I'll go to the Broncos. I'll stay in the AFC and just go with the Broncos.
Okay.
They just haven't been that good. It's shocking. You know, you take in Joe Flacco and you're thinking, man, this is a QB that's been there. He's done it. He can just keep us going. And that just never happened.
Yeah.
And they were losing all these games by a field goal.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And now Drew Locke, like, I don't know what the issue is with him there.
You know?
But I know he's been on IR with a hurt finger or something.
I think it's easier to put him on IR and say he's on IR than throw him out there and see what's happening with Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where Haskins just is getting obliterated.
Just Elway, man, with the quarterbacks. Just for someone who was such a good quarterback himself.
He just has never been able to pick them.
Real bad trouble evaluating quarterbacks. I'm picking another team, but for similar reasons. Mm-hmm. And I'm going with the Chicago Bears. So, in a similar vein, like, the Broncos' defense, I think, is, like, top five. The Bears, right now, on total yards given up, are actually still top 10. But Mitch Trubisky, if I was to ask you right now, how many touchdowns has Mitch Trubisky thrown so far this year?
I'd say one.
No, for throwing for.
Oh, throwing for?
Yeah.
You
know, quarterback, you'd expect him to throw for a few, like.
I'm trying to think, who did he throw touchdowns?
And we're coming into week 10 now.
Week 10, five?
Exactly. Five touchdowns. Not good enough. When your team traded up for it.
Sophomore, or the slump.
Third year for him, right, isn't it?
Third year slump for him. And it's just when you think about who the Browns, not the Browns, the Bears could have taken in that draft.
Mm.
And they jumped up to get this guy.
Yeah, what did they give up? Yeah, and the 49ers made out like bandits, because they were like, yeah, you can jump up, we're still going to get our man.
Again, their man hasn't really performed until this year. You know, in his third year.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
But they're set a quarterback. You know, like, if you take a bad quarterback, it sets you back a while.
It is. And I suppose we had that argument last year a lot with, do you take Saquon or a quarterback given his position? But, like, he's just regressed so much. His confidence is going back. Like, Nagy wants him to, like, watch videos of where he succeeded before to get his confidence back. And I'm like, that's not what you do there.
He's 30th in QB rating. That's how bad he's been.
He had 9 yards in the first half against the Eagles.
What's nine crazy. Yards. The fucking cat ran further on the Monday night game. Right, we'll go to the more positive side now. Pleasantly surprised by which team?
I'm going to go with the Niners.
Okay.
I just...
Totally understandable.
I don't think anybody would have said they've gone to where they've gone so far.
Given Jimmy was coming off an injury.
Coming off an injury, and then he wasn't playing well in the first couple of games. But I'm just pleasantly surprised with their defense. They posted 3 shutouts. You know, and stopped the Rams on the goal line like 3 times on one drive.
And a great game for them coming up. A huge game in the NFC West. I think, like, Bosa is, like, just unreal.
If I can make that bigger than what the NFC West has pleasantly surprised me.
Mm.
Because even the Cardinals have started to play better now and pick some things up, you know.
Murray's starting to get a hang of it, yeah.
And, like, as much as you think, they've had, like, 4 turnovers all season.
The Cardinals?
Before last weekend. So I don't know if they turned it over last weekend. It turns out they've had 4 turnovers. And I'm like, what? And that system where he's just throwing the ball out nonstop.
Yeah, air raid.
4 turnovers through like 8 weeks.
Credit to him.
You know, he's
putting the ball there.
You know, it's just, that whole West is like, you got the Seahawks playing well, the Rams, the Niners, and the Cardinals. I'm like, wow. I wouldn't have put that division, for a division that's been so dominated by the Rams the last couple of years, and then it was the Seahawks before then, and the Niners. It's just good to see.
I'm pleasantly surprised by, now you might look at me funny, the Green Bay Packers. I know people are like, it's the fucking Packers. But, and I know they had a stinker against the Chargers, you know.
Yeah.
Teams have a bad week, whatever. But it's because Matt LaFleur's in his first year there, and we've shown we've now seen that, you know, just being a young mm-hmm. head coach doesn't necessarily translate to victories. Like, yeah, Cliff is starting to get the hang of it now, but then you look at the Bengals, like, they're still without a win. So it doesn't necessarily mean just because you're young and you're innovative in your ideas that it's going to translate to success. Mm-hmm. But yes, he has one of the greatest QBs to ever do it. But over the summer, we were hearing that there was a little bit of friction there between Rodgers and LaFleur.
He's younger than the QB.
Yeah, so there was that little bit of a, I guess, power struggle between the two. And his wide receivers, like, Jesus, like, Devontae has been out for a few games. Mm-hmm. Scantling has been out for a few games. Like, mm-hmm. he's had games there where guys are getting touchdown catches. And by my own admission, I had never heard him before until Lazard caught that one. Yeah. I was like, I had never heard of this guy.
No.
But somehow, they were still finding creative ways to win. And now, even though the defense, actually, this was a surprise to me, that the defense is still only ranked like 26th.
And against the run?
Overall.
But I think it's the runs killing them.
Yeah, but they're starting to, like, for so long, it was always, Aaron Rodgers hasn't really got a defense here. He's just going to go out and win games. Mm-hmm. And now we've seen that they can kind of hold their end of the bargain. They can keep a team maybe to 14 or 17 points, and then Rodgers can maybe put up something in the 20s, and that's enough to win games.
In regards to the Chargers game, I heard some reports come out that they went there on the Friday as opposed to going there on the Saturday.
Mm.
And I think maybe some of the younger fellas kind of enjoyed it. As opposed to...
As any of us would in fucking LA.
You know, so...
I know we will be this weekend.
Humble brag.
But you know me and humble brags. pleasantly surprised by what player?
Mika Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head there, just...
Just his whole situation, his play since he's moved?
Like, with the way... His play's just improved since he's gone to the Steelers. You know, and... He's had like 3 picks in the last 2 games, and one of them just happened to be like a 96-yard touchdown. Pick 6, you know. And I just think since he's gone there, he's just changed that defense around. Mm. Like, they were getting the pressure from TJ Watt and everybody in the defensive line.
But and was Devin Bush.
Devin Bush.
A fucking tackling machine.
Returning pick 6s as well, so he has. So let's give him credit there.
So they kind of have playmakers at all 3 levels.
They had anybody at the secondary level. And now Fitzpatrick is there. 3 picks in 2 weeks and a pick 6, you know, that he's just given that defense a lot more confidence.
And dare I make such a lofty comparison, but he kind of has like some similar attributes to, you know, Polamalu is a bit of a free spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of float around, and then, as Pat McAfee put it, he might become a fucking angel in the A gap.
Yeah.
Or a devil in the B gap, like, whatever you want, and he'll just show up at the line of scrimmage. And like, Minka kind of has that, you know, utility aspect to his play, where he can kind of come into the box and or he can roam around and get the pick. So absolutely fair shout there with Minka Fitzpatrick. Mine is a guy who's just about to play in what, 10-20 minutes, Josh Jacobs. I know it's probably hard to say you can't be pleasantly surprised by a first round draft pick, especially one from Alabama running back, you know.
You can be, because they get run into the ground so much in Bama, you know. Some of them struggle in the NFL because the legs have already been burned off them.
And the fields that he has to play there, when you play his home games in the Oakland Coliseum, field, it's a fucking shithole. But he's actually on pace now to go over 1,500 yards rushing. And he's showing he can do a bit of versatility in the catching game as well. I think he has like over 100 yards catching. But he's been, like, they seem to be really feeding the ball to him now a little bit more. You know, they thought they were going to have Antonio Brown and this amazing pass offense, but they seem to be happy now to hand the ball off to Josh Jacobs, and he's getting a lot of yards. So he's 6 touchdowns as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much almost just a shade under 1 a game. So can't really ask for more there.
No.
First year running back, Alabama. I'm pleasantly surprised by Josh Jacobs. Right. We're going to get into the juicier ones now over the next few minutes. They are who we thought they are. Award.
Interesting. I'll go with the Vikings on that one.
Okay.
Good defense. Everybody's known it, you know. They just needed them to step up. Offense kind of fell off a little bit.
Yeah.
Came back against...
And then there was the talk of Diggs wanting out.
But again, I think everybody's known for a while that Kirk Cousins, he just doesn't seem to perform against the top teams.
Mm.
That he's good at beating like the Eagles, who weren't well, and these weaker teams, but when he comes up against a good team on prime time, he doesn't do far too well, which will be interesting this Sunday night against the Cowboys in Arlington.
And he's without Thielen.
And he's without Thielen. Yeah, he seems to be outside. They've not lit me up and said, oh my God, you know, but you knew they were going to feed the ball to Diggs, or not Diggs, but
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, who was really
who's performed really well. Yeah. But then that's also like pretty much, well, we'll just sell a play action game.
Yeah.
And that's literally what they're doing, you know. But they haven't shown me anything, right, these are a serious contender here, you know. They pretty much just, yeah, that's what we expected, you know.
Yeah. I love watching Thielen play. Like, he's that typical, you know, he's not running a 4-3 wide receiver, but fuck me, his route running is just, like, some of the double moves he runs is just unbelievable. Just really good. And just a great story. Like, you know, undrafted guy just hanging around and got a shot and made it happen. But, yeah, he's an absolute baller, so it's disappointing to see now that he's going to be out. But hopefully, you know what hamstring injuries like. They can be niggly little bastards where they can just keep pulling again on you, you know?
Especially if your job is to, like, sprint down a field, you know?
That's true, yeah.
And make hard cuts.
Sharp cuts and all. My They Are Who We Thought They Were award goes to the New York Jets. Now, it could have very well been the Giants, and it could still be the Giants, depending on how the week goes when they face off in MetLife, which is technically a home game for the Jets. But I guess it doesn't really matter because it's in the stadium. And for many reasons, you mentioned earlier, Darnold, with the kissing disease, but also just like, just the bad shit that happens to the Jets. Like, you've got Adam Gase, who, you know, was like, I think there was footage of him sitting on the bench there, and he was like,
updating his resume?
Yeah, that one, yeah. I don't know what the fuck he was reading, but he wasn't looking at the game. And then you have their prized, one of their prized free agents, at least CJ Mosley, has barely seen the field.
Yeah.
An absolute bruiser of a linebacker when he's fully fit. Just all those things together. Yeah. And now they were looking, you know, there was all these rumours of a fire sale before the deadline. You know, Robbie Anderson was on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. Apparently Jamal Adams was interested in going to the Cowboys. And they did let one guy go. They let Leonard Williams go. He went over to the other locker room. He's with the Giants now. The only bright spot for them is they still have a good chunk of cap room. I think they have about $67 million.
Yeah.
Which is actually around where the Giants are, providing they don't shed off some cap space. But, like, one win and that, getting shut out, like, the night they were
I'm getting shocked that they're on your list, because they are what you thought you are. Did you thought maybe they would have one win at this stage of the season?
I thought they would have more than one.
At least,
it's hard to account for all those weeks Darren was out, when, like, the likes of Falcon.
Is that really, yeah. But, yeah, again, I think when you look at they are that they are, it's just like, it's the bad luck that just seems to linger around the Jets.
Like we always say, like, the Jets will always jet. And it just seems like 2019, the Jets are still jetting. Yeah. And, no, my dad would probably agree with me at that point. Because he unfortunately had to watch his team getting absolutely massacred by the Pats there a few weeks ago. And that was very bad. I'm almost certain.
That was horrible.
If you weigh up the numbers, I'm pretty sure there was more Pats fans there that day. Because when, like, the Pats scored, it was like a home game. Yeah. Which is fucking terrible. I know it's only a lot of Bostonians living in New York and all, but still. Like, it just was a terrible look for the Jets. Juicy one here. The ejection seat. What a NFL head coach.
I got Adam Gase on. So Adam Gase. Same with the Jets.
Fair enough.
You know, that didn't really cut the mustard in the Dolphins. Didn't really do anything there that let anybody up other than maybe beat the Patriots in Miami, like, for like three consecutive years. A lot of pressure came on.
Is that the Miami effect though on Brady? Because, like, they've always had a little bit of trouble in Miami, even before Gase, right?
Yeah.
It was just one of those places.
No problem this year though.
Yeah, true. Nobody's having a
problem
this year.
But I think just from Gase, the spotlight was on him when he was in that first press conference and his eyes were just sticking out of his head.
It was very bizarre, wasn't it?
You know, and it's like, you go from Miami, probably one of the worst NFL markets, to New York, where it's just, your
the leash
media's on
is
you
very
24/7.
Short. Yeah.
And you get there, and you didn't want Le'Veon Bell. You didn't want CJ Mosley. These players were signed before you got here.
Mm.
So, and Joe Douglas has come in now, and he's going to want to put his imprint in the team. And it was between him and Zach Taylor, but I just think Zach Taylor was dealt a worse hand than him. Like, Gase had a lot of talent on that team, and I don't know, it's gone downhill from him.
Yeah, Adam Gase, fair enough. My head coach that's in the ejection seat is Dan Quinn of the Falcons. And even Arthur Blank said it there after the loss to the Seahawks. He was like, during the bye week, we might have to make some difficult decisions. I think they've made one or two personnel changes. But Dan Quinn still is the head coach for now. But it's crazy. Like, the Falcons are number one in passing, but yet they have one win. Like,
the past 2 years, their defense has just been ravaged by injuries. You know, especially to the secondary.
Yeah.
But
I think it's...
Dan Quinn is a defensive coach.
I know.
And he's calling the plays now, and they're just getting torched. And as you said, they're the top offense or whatever.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan can't be putting up 35-plus points a game. It's just not feasible.
Yeah. Like your defense, does a damn good job trying, though.
Like your defense has to step up at some stage, yeah. And they just haven't.
They just aren't. We've always spoke, like, we're big MMA guys. We've always spoken about, you know, when, like, a fighter with a lot of hype loses and it just, like, emotionally and mentally breaks him. Like, you remember when Francis Ngannou lost?
Yeah.
He just seemed like a fucking broken man for, like, a year or two. And, yeah, he had so much hype behind him and he fucking lost and it was just, like, he's gone. Like, mentally he's gone. I just have that weird feeling that that's what happened to the Falcons. They were such a sure bet at that 28-3 scoreline. Mm-hmm. And then they fucking blew it all. And it just seems to have mentally broken them. Because since then, like, they've done absolutely nothing. And if I was Julio Jones, I'd want to get the fuck out of there. And I wouldn't blame him because when we were watching that game...
It's clear that he wants a payday.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me that he's chasing the Super Bowl anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he's at that team. He's like, no, I want you to pay me.
Yeah. But it was so bizarre, like, watching him against the Seahawks. Like, there's a guy who... What would you put him in? Top three receivers on his day?
Yeah.
With, like... fucking Nuke and I don't know who else you'd put, maybe Michael Thomas would round out the top three or whatever you want to put it. But like there were times where he'd make a play and the Falcons, with Matt Schaub throwing the ball, the Falcons would have a good bit of momentum and then all of a sudden he's off the field. And it's not like Julio Jones is gassed, he's catching the ball on like a fucking 15-yard corner or whatever. And like Dan Quinn is pulling him out of the lineup. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like Julio Jones, he's so good, he catches everything. He has to be getting 15 targets, 12 to 15 targets a game. And I don't know what the snap count was, but I'd say it was like 80% or something.
Yeah.
And like, for me, as someone like Julio Jones, who was the focal point of that offense, especially in, like in the passing game, they're number one in passing, and you're pulling him out of the game. Like, that can't be happening.
I just realized their only win is against the Eagles.
Just a horrible realization.
Julio Jones was like a 70-yard screen pass, you know, that won it for them.
And he's just the fact that they're pulling him out of the game, and that was another occasion where it was like a home game for the Seahawks. Yeah. I know, like the Seahawks fans are known to travel well and be loud, but the Atlanta fans are just abandoning their team.
Yeah.
Like they're just so done with their team now, which is very bad. And they need some sort of spark there to get the fans interested again.
Yeah,
because that was literally like I'd say about 50% full for an unbelievable venue.
We talked about it before. You'd go there, that all the reports that I heard is that they just won't show up.
Yeah. And saw firsthand the fans are like, fuck this.
But they'll sell out the soccer team.
Crazy, isn't it? For soccer, like in the US, that's unbelievable. It says a lot about their football team, though, that they're able to sell out soccer.
They won their first year, you know? So
and Arthur Blank owns them.
Immediate success to the city.
That always helps. Like Vegas with the hockey. You know, you get into a Stanley Cup
in
the first year, it's going to help promote it. Straightforward enough one. MVP. Who you got on this one? Mid-season MVP. If the season ended now.
It's a tough one because I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
But I'll immediately hear then the arguments for a QB to be it, you know, and what they bring to their squad as opposed to a running back.
All right.
But I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey just because that offense doesn't move without him.
Correct.
Like he...
He is the offense.
He's putting up like 31 fantasy points a game. You know, it's ridiculous. Like...
So...
He catches the ball. He runs the ball.
Yeah. You paint your front porch. You walking dog.
If you put him on safety as well, you know.
I actually did have him on DraftKings last week. And you know from playing DraftKings. He was 10 grand. That is a 50-year salary cap.
Yeah.
And you pick like 9 players. And I was like, this is a big move. He's got to get at least 30 points here for me to warrant.
Yeah.
He got 41 points. Now he's 10-5 this week. $10,500.
I mean, the only fantasy league, I mean, there's a guy he didn't know, right? He's Russell Wilson. His running back's Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, and he is the Patriots' defense.
Wow.
It's like, they're four of the best picks of the fucking weekend.
So he clearly went either Cook or McCaffrey for... He got his two running backs for us. What's his receivers like? So he clearly went heavy on the running backs.
Yeah, I love now why you...
it's all about the red zone carries, anyway. I also had McCaffrey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He's on pace to crack 2,400 yards from scrimmage, which is absolutely outrageous.
That will be the next... who's the highest ever fantasy points in a season?
Oh, fantasy points? Yeah. I thought you were going to say yards or yards from scrimmage, and I'm pretty sure that was Bo Jackson, right? Because AP needed like 9 yards or something that year.
Ladainian and Thomason, when he had
fantasy
like,
points.
Yeah, didn't he have like a 30-touchdown season or something?
Something like that, yeah.
So
he was
this guy's receivers are Stephon Diggs, Godwin, he's got Goddard in a tight end, D.D. Westbrook.
Okay.
You know, so
that's pretty solid. Like you're getting a lot of.
And don't think Godwin's had like 3 weeks where he's gotten like 30 points or something.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so. I have Godwin. Yeah, he's like. In is that PPR league as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty. And like, look at all the points that Christian McCaffrey gets catching the ball. Fucking racking them up every week.
Touches for every. Ah, it's just
unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Where would you say Vegas has them ranked? Has CMC ranked in MVP?
Second or third, I'd say.
Fifth.
What?
He's
plus, I'm guessing they got Russell Wilson first.
He's plus 600. So right now, the Vegas odds makers. You are correct. Russell Wilson is first. Who would you say is second? This kind of surprised me a little bit, I have to say. This is probably their base. I don't know if they're basing this off the eyeball test and watching them play, but this kind of surprised me. Second. Didn't think he'd be this high up.
It's not Mahomes, then. McCaffrey. I don't know, just go and fire through there instead of wasting time.
The cat from Monday Night Football is... Deshaun Watson.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Lamar Jackson is third. Aaron Rodgers is fourth.
That's fucking
right. And then CMC is fifth. Like, for me,
For them to put him at fifth, they must think he's going to seriously drop off.
Yeah. It's, well, I mean, as a running back, it's such a, you know, like, just the wear and tear on a running back. Like, and when you're getting used so heavily, it's like, okay, you're always, like, one carry away.
So Vegas are covering themselves there, I think, by putting the top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
In there, so they have to pay out less.
It's just, it is kind of the way it is. Like, with, you know, we know, like, the quarterbacks.
He's going to have to do something that no running back has ever done to win it.
He's going to have to break the yards from scrimmage 100% if he's going to stand a chance. Because that's, like, like you said, never been done before. It's like, how can you not give it to him, you know?
And the thing is, it's like he's breaking these records despite him being the only threat. But every defense going, all they got is Christian McCaffrey, and he's still doing it.
That is a great point. Like, that to me is MVP caliber shit, because he is matchup proof.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you can have like one of the best run defenses. They're unbelievable at shutting down the run.
Mm-hmm.
There's no true threat of the passing game, even though they've got DJ Moore, of course, Samuel. Let's be honest, not going to light up, but he still does every week.
I have to listen back to our, I think, Monday's episode or Tuesday's episode around the NFL. But they give the stat about Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett. But I don't think Russell has ever missed a pass to Tyler Lockett that he's thrown. He's never had a drop ball.
The first one actually was at the game in Atlanta, I believe.
Was it to Tyler Lockett?
I think so. But he caught two balls, right? I've never really, like, this is the first time I've properly been able to watch, you know, just zoning in on Lockett. So when you're watching on TV, everything's going on. We took a few snaps and I was just like, watch Lockett. Guy is fucking unreal. For like a little undersized guy, he caught two almost identical passes from Russell. He made Russell look good. They were kind of badly thrown. It was over the wrong shoulder. He literally, like, the guy was all over him and he like caught away his bicep. And like, he's not an extremely jacked guy. But his location of the football was fucking off the charts.
Yeah.
And that toe tapper he had against the Rams was, like, again, he made Russell look good. I honestly think Russell was trying to fuck that out of the end zone.
Yeah. But same as with Rodgers a couple of weeks ago. I'm pretty sure he was throwing that in the end zone.
And then he's like, I meant it. But fuck me, that catch against the Rams was just absolutely unbelievable. The
last time we podcast ago.
Really, was it?
Here. Yeah.
There you go. We're going from MVP to MVC. The most volatile clown award of 2019. Well, cunt is,
Like
there's no censorship here. I just have Antonio Brown, no brainer. Like, the fact that I made a meme with a clown face on him. But now he's come out again.
It's like he's never playing in the NFL and black people.
Just absolute gobshite of a man.
His agent has to drop him. You can't. What does he keep?
Drew Rosenhaus. Yeah. Like, one day he'll come out and be like, I wouldn't mind if the Pats came calling. I wouldn't mind. I'd probably come back. And then the next day he's like slating Robert Kraft about getting handies down in the Orchids of Asia. I'm like, what's it going to be, man? You either want to go back to them or you're slating the owner who's never going to sign you again.
I woke up this morning and I was like going through Facebook, and in one of these Redskins groups, somebody talked about, oh, what about the Eagles?
You're in a Redskins group, you little sneaky bastard.
No, sorry. The Eagles group. And the guy comes, oh, what about the Eagles taking Antonio Brown? And who's the first comment I see is but Fozzie. You know, and I'm
shout out to Keith Foster.
I think I'm reading his comment, but all I'm reading is like, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You know? We don't need him.
It just reminds me of that meme with the dog. Shut up, you tick.
He's like, really? Who the hell wants this guy on their team?
Sure, there was reports about potentially Odell being picked up by the Eagles. I was
really?
Like, Jesus.
I don't think
I think it's, you know.
Well, again, we've just with been fake news without Deshaun Jackson all year. You know,
we got Jordan Matthews now has re-signed for his third stint with the Eagles.
No, he's terrible.
He hasn't.
He's a slot receiver.
Yeah.
You need a guy who's going to be in the outside, who's going to take the top off it.
So wait. Deshaun's been injured. Oh, wait, because you already have Aguilar. So then, who are you going to try to play Matthews on the outside?
Yeah, or probably move Aguilar to the outside.
Really, yeah? Because Matthews is like the bigger body, right?
Yeah, but you'd probably try to have that matchup, mismatch in the middle on the slot.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey on the outside. But then.
But then who else have you got apart from Alshon, like on the perimeter?
Mac Hollins.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
He's a second round draft pick, was he?
No.
Or the guy from Stanford, like something Cortez.
Fuck his name.
It's a double barrel name,
anyway.
Yeah. He was a second rounder, was he not?
Yeah. And you're thinking of receivers that we could have picked up instead of him, you know. But again, hindsight's a great thing.
Exactly, yeah. Right, we're going to move on to the fun. Well, I had fun talking about those awards. This is going to be better. The Joke Awards.
Okay.
So this is ones we're just making up personally, so feel free to give an award that I've just made up, but no pressure. My first joke award is the Magic Sponge. This is going to be hard. The Magic Sponge of Miraculous Health Award. And that goes to cornerback Jalen Ramsey because he fucking bitched and moaned about his back all year in Jacksonville. And then his wife seemed to have the longest birth ever. I think she was like in labor for 2 weeks, wasn't it? And that's why he couldn't play or something like that.
He left her?
Did he?
I think he left her.
Wow.
She's the sister of an NFL receiver.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
Because the guy came out against talking about Ramsey saying he's going to have to fucking face him, you know?
Jesus. So yeah, the Magic Sponge and Miraculous Health Award, Jalen Ramsey, because he was on the IR, or not on the IR, on the injury report about his back. And then, you know, there was a week he couldn't play, and then he goes to LA, and then all of a sudden he's off the injury report.
Oh, there it is. Jalen Ramsey dumped pregnant girlfriend who's actually Golden Tate's sister.
Oh, fuck.
I forgot who which player it was. Yes.
But wait,
there you go.
So yeah, but the Rams don't play the Giants this year.
Yeah, well, he's just going to have to face him at some stage.
Yeah,
you know?
Won't be in the fucking playoffs, that's for sure. So, you can give one of your joke awards there.
Let me go for it. Okay, this one funny first off. Award for I secured more TV commercials this season than touchdowns throwing. And that goes to Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Because he's never off the TV at the minute.
He's probably shaved more times in one game than he has fucking touchdowns. So he does that one. What's the one where he's sitting with the missus in the crowd and he has to go over? I think it's the insurance, Progressive Insurance or something.
And
she keeps sending them back and forth. Yeah. What was the thing about the shaving anyway? He shows up with a full beard.
Yeah, I think he had the
He had the Fu Manchu then. And then by the end, he had the fucking mustache.
Yeah.
What is going on there? See, that's the shit now. Like, that's the kind of. The attention away from football that you just don't want when you're the Browns. You've got all these characters. They're great football players, but they're also characters.
Yeah.
And that's where it can all blow up. Speaking of the Browns, my Twitter fingers turned to Trigger Fingers Award goes to Jermaine Whitehead, former Browns cornerback, who, you know, he only threatened to kill a few people on Twitter because they were giving him lip. And it seemed to be that he was fucking tweeting from the locker room because it was like 15 minutes after the game finished.
It's just funny because he threatens to kill people and he gets sacked, whereas Trump said he could shoot someone at Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't change.
Grant.
Everyone would still like him.
Double standards, right? So he is now a free agent and he's come out now and apologized.
But I just wonder though, if the Browns weren't going through the turmoil they're going through at the minute and the spotlight was on them, would they have like gotten rid of him? Because he's a starting safety. He's played nearly every snap all season, you know, and they cut his ass. You think they've got Kareem Hunt in their squad and everything.
Seems to be Darcy, like, if you slip up under Darcy, it seems you're, like, you're gone. Because Hunt hasn't slipped up under Darcy's tutelage yet.
But it's just like, these teams pay thousands to bring social media gurus in to train these players on what not to respond to.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't.
But the social media guys probably aren't sitting, you know, beside him in the fucking locker room. And he's going onto Twitter and just blowing up, like. Again,
I get it that guy's not there, but, like, you spend thousands. Yeah. Teams spend thousands to bring these people in and say, listen, this is, you could hear all sorts like this.
Oh,
you just can't respond. But if you're in a position where you're a professional athlete, you're always going to get shit on. Especially when you get run over and a guy breaks two other tackles to score a 70-yard touchdown or whatever it was. No offense.
And someone lost our fantasy matchup because of their fucking given lip. But as we know, most of these guys are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
They just happen to be great athletes. Paid from the neck down, as me old lad would say. What's your next joke award?
I'll leave the funnier one for the last one. I got the award for the worst medical team in the NFL to the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
For telling Trent Richardson, ignore that lump.
Which has been on your head for 4 years or whatever it was.
It's grand.
There must be an Irish medical team. You'd be grand.
It just happens to be cancer. So, yeah, a lot more clear now where this guy does not want to play for that team anymore.
And now they're not paying him, which I read today. It only came out, like, there's something, he's now on, it's not IR, but there's something where they're not paying him now.
Wow.
We'll have to look it up, but it only popped up there on my computer.
It was a toss-up between them and the Jets.
Yeah.
For telling, going back and forth, no, you don't need shoulder surgery. You don't need it at all. I think cancer's just going to outweigh the shoulder surgery.
Yeah, preaching to the choir with that one. The I Make Police Reports Disappear Quicker Than Hillary's Emails award goes to Bob Kraft. Because what happened with the fucking police charges for getting a finger up his hole down in Florida? There was all this talk about he's gonna get arrested, this and that, and then just like that, a little bag of money is dropped through the letterbox in Jupiter, Florida Police Department overnight. We don't know how that money got there, but enjoy your Christmas party, lads. And all of a sudden, there's no fucking charges against them. So, Bob Kraft gets that award for me. I think he was the only one that got the nomination. But
there we go. I've got the offer. Award for, let's trade all our talent to get the number one pick, but then screw it up by having to play the Jets.
Yes.
So, and that award goes to the Miami Dolphins.
Fucking Ryan Fitzmagic. Do you know what? They could beat the Giants.
He's got like 8 kids, right?
Really?
7 or 8 kids, and each kid was born in a different state.
No way.
I mean, you think about it, he's been out like 20 teams.
Jesus. I do like Fitzy. Like, he just goes out there and he just seems to sit. Like, he's probably just feels blessed that he's still in the league, you know? And he's like still able to start in the NFL, and he's like the definition of a fucking journeyman. Like, how many teams has he been on? Seven or eight. Fair fucks to him. Still making a living out of it. This one is, I don't know, controversial. The Afro Man, because I got a award, goes to Josh Gordon, surprisingly, because I've heard a few rumblings from Patriot beat writers that this whole mysterious injury thing, because he's passed his physical. He's fucking available for the Seahawks this week. And it was more about his work rate was down. And, you know, potentially some of his voices could have been slipping back into the picture there.
Okay.
And where does someone go, you know, when you have a bit of trouble with weed? Fucking Seattle, Washington, where there's bleeding weed cafes literally on every street corner. Because when we were there, I was like, Jesus, I smell of weed everywhere around here. And then, like, I go into Google Maps, I'm like, weed cafe, and they're just like boop, 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 popping up like bleeding mushrooms all over the map.
Weedmaps.com.
Maybe you should get them to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, shout out,
right?
Yeah. Free advertising.
Weedmaps.com. Hit us up. Afro Man, because I got high award, goes to Josh Gordon.
That's hilarious.
Right. I'm
out.
Oh, you're out?
Yeah, I just done the three. I was like, grand, let me get this together in 5 minutes.
Now I'm starting to think that you had one and it's like super controversial or something. Like
no.
So we're not doing the Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself for, no? Don't even know how we can make that an award.
Yeah.
But as Joe Rogan says, hashtag look into it. Sure, we've all seen the memes now. We've actually spoken a lot. I've barely really sipped this beer. It definitely doesn't feel like we're going to die because it's out of date, but
yeah,
because we've had that bias by your facial expression here, I know you're going to rank it fairly low, are you?
No, I'm just looking at him like, your missus is pretty much telling me to leave the apartment after this, but is wanting me to usher down an 8% IPA. I was like,
and driving the piss and rain in the dark.
Piss and rain in the dark. I was like,
through the narrow streets of Austin.
Jesus.
What are you going to give it?
Yeah, for that, I like a 7.2.
That's actually exactly what I was going to give it. So now I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
So yeah, we're in the same ballpark. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say if we didn't find out beforehand that was out of date.
Yeah.
And it was like, because we talked so much shite before we went on air,
mm-hmm.
it seemed to warm down a little bit. If it was crisp, mm-hmm. as Graham McHale says, cold beers, if they were straight out of the fridge, we probably would have enjoyed it a little bit more.
Straight if you haven't seen Sal.
If you haven't seen that clip of Graham McHale saying cold beers, you have to check it out. It's fucking hilarious. It's got the Nordy accent with the American sprinkled in. I think we'll leave it at that. That was rather enjoyable.
Yeah,
getting to see where we felt like other teams were.
It's interesting to give an awards as opposed to talking about the games.
Yeah.
That's an interesting concept.
And just to see like how people define boom or bust, you know, because everyone's like, oh, they didn't perform how I thought. And then you ask someone else and it's like, actually, I think they're quite good for my expectations. Keep an eye on the social media. Gave away a few competition prizes. And people from Northern Ireland need to stop winning these fucking prizes. Because I don't know, but Brexit is pushing up the shipping costs for me to fucking send a jersey to Northern Ireland. The last three contests have been Bangor, Belfast and Belfast. So, Nordy, stop entering the contest because you're costing me loads of money fucking shipping costs. But we're going to be giving DraftKings have given me, there's actually a box of stuff I have to give away.
Oh, there you go.
Still got to give it away. So, yeah, I'm going to do that over the next week or so. Keep an eye on the social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and wherever people are listening, iTunes, Spotify, all the different apps on the Android. Appreciate the support. Remember we sent you that picture of, we had like 500 downloads in one day. I don't know, they're somewhere in America, but
that picture,
it must have been picked up somewhere.
That was the other one.
There's been plenty of other ones I sent you now. But there was a day where we picked up 500 downloads in one day, which is fantastic. So if you are one of those people that signed up like last week, appreciate it. And we'll leave it at that. We're going to go watch Thursday Night Football now. Episode 63, Paddy Pigskin in the books. Tune in next time where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care.